Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tragic Rugby League Report. I'm your host for tonight, Declan McCutcheon, and I am joined by none other than Stephen McCutcheon from the Celtic Down Under podcast. We've got a little bit of a code hopper here. How's it going, Stephen?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Declan. Thanks for having me on. I haven't been on in a while. I've been playing a bit of reserve grade. So hopefully they'll take my opportunity to submit my first grade place tonight. I'm up to the task.
Yep. Well, it's not like there's Rutkin, I don't think you'll have a hard time filling his shoes, but yeah, I think Zach will be missed, but he'll try our hardest.
I'll try my best, yep.
Yep. It's actually weird as well, because usually when like one of our teams wins a game, they usually can't wait to be on the podcast, but it's just been, you know, both of them won, but both of them aren't here. So
yeah, I know. They must have better things to do on a Wednesday night.
Meanwhile, like, we're here after six straight defeats for us, but, you know, that's all right.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to talk.
Yeah, it's good to talk out your feelings, isn't it? But yeah, I just thought that it's been an interesting week so far. In terms of off-field drama, there hasn't been too much, except the Dragons kind of coaching situation, but it seems a little bit deja vu from last season with us, don't you reckon, where it's clear that Griffin's not going to be there, but, and now all the potential people get listed, and then one by one, each of them says they're not really interested, and they end up with someone completely unexpected. I don't think they'll go down the route we did, but what do you reckon of the whole Dragon situation so far?
Yeah, I feel a bit for Griffin. I don't think he's the best coach in the world, but I don't think he deserves to get dragged through the mud like this. I think if they're going to sack him, they should have sacked him in the close season. But none of the names that have been mentioned fills me with any optimism for them. I know you've got the usual suspects like Des Hasler and Shane Flanagan, but these guys, you know, they come with their own baggage. I'm not sure what the Dragons are trying to achieve by doing this. But, I mean, if they had someone in mind, like a Cameron Sinaldo or something, who the Bulldogs really wanted and went and got, then fair enough. But they just seem to be sacking Griffin, or, you know, effectively sacking Griffin for the sake of it, without having any clear plan as to what they want to do in the future.
Yeah, it also seems like they kind of want to sack him without sacking him, if that makes sense. Like, they're just like, well, you can apply for your job again, which is basically like, if anyone asks you to apply for your job again, I think it's pretty
clear.
You're
not getting it.
You're not getting it, no.
You're not getting your job back. Now, I don't know what they're going to gain by that either, because, you know, from a PR point of view, it's going to be a disaster for them. So they're not gaining anything on that front. So I'm not really sure what's going on at the Dragons, to be honest.
But yeah, and it's clearly pissed off Ben Hunt as well. She never want your best player by a country mile. Clearly looks offside. You know, I don't know. It's clear. It's been pretty obvious for a while now that Anthony Griffin wasn't going to hold on to his job. But they do have Ben Hunt under contract. So I suppose from a club perspective, they can just tell him to get it off him, I suppose. But yeah, it's not great.
I mean, Ben Hunt's been quite vocal for a while now about the fact that he likes playing under Griffin. And he wants to keep playing under Griffin. And although you're right, he's under contract, but he's the biggest contract at the club. He's the best paid player at the club. So he will have a bit of influence. Very senior guy at the club. And, you know, if you get him offside, a new coach is going to struggle. And it seems to be he's not very guarded in his comments here. He's just saying it as he sees it. He doesn't want Griffin to get the sack or to be, you know, not get his own job back or whatever it is, but he doesn't seem to be too scared to call a spade a spade.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But I thought it'd be fun for us, because we have a special guest, just to get your general impressions of the season so far, what you've liked, what you haven't liked so much. I thought we'd start off with a positive one. Which team has impressed you most this season compared to the pre-season expectations?
Well, obviously the Broncos are going really, really well. They're at the moment the best team in the comp, I think. They're flying on all fronts. Adam Reynolds is playing out his skin. Their outside backs are excellent, and their power game is just incredible to watch. When they start moving the ball across the pitch at speed, It's difficult to see how anyone can stop them, and they get such good meters on kick return to start off their sets. They're just in an incredible outfit at the moment. It remains to be seen whether they can keep that up over the course of the season, but they've been really impressive. You can't help but be impressed by the Dolphins, who, you know, most people had picked for the spoon or close to the spoon, but they're flying high up there in fourth position in the ladder. And, you know, despite the fact they've lost both their first choice halves, they don't show any signs in dropping off their form. And, you know, they're looking really good. They've got some, so the fullback, the hammer, the fullback is playing really well. The forwards, the Bromwich brothers, doing really well in the forwards, and they just look like a typical Wayne Bennett side, really well coached, where everybody knows his role and everybody puts in when required. So probably of the teams that weren't tipped to do well, the Dolphins, but the Broncos definitely the best team in the comp at the moment. With an honourable mention to the Warriors as well, because I think they've surprised a few people. They just look like a really well-coached side. And the former Sean Johnson, I think, has surprised a few. Certainly myself, I wasn't expecting him to do what he's doing.
Yeah. In terms of the Broncos, do you reckon they could win the comp this year? Or do you reckon it's more of a case of kind of, well, this is when the real contenders don't really take it as seriously, like last year, for example, with the Cowboys, I suppose?
Yeah, I think they can win the comp. Whether they do or not, you know, and I don't want to be too harsh, but I'm not convinced with Walters as a coach. So I think when it comes down to the pointy end of the season, and really close games, his coaching might be a little bit suspect. So that might be the only barrier to them winning the comp. But they're also, you know, some of the really good teams have come back to the field a little bit this season. Like the Panthers don't look quite what they were last year. The Storm look as if they've struggled a bit in certain games. And the Roosters, you know, look good at times, but certainly look as if they've come back to the pack a bit. So you never know. The Broncos, you know, there's no reason why they can't keep this form going. But it just depends, and a lot depends on injuries and stuff as well. They really depend a lot on Adam Reynolds. And with his age, and he's got a bit of history with some niggling injuries, when you get into the post-origin period, whether he stays fit or not is probably going to be very important for them.
That's a good one. Now let's get to the most important part. Who have your flops been? I think I might know where you're going to go with this.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers are the biggest flops. You know, they were, you know, predicted to finish anywhere from, you know, 14th up to 7th or 8th. You know, some people actually had them in their top 8. But it's been nothing short of disastrous for the Tigers. Hardly anything's gone right. And it looks as if now the season's gone already. So they're 0-6. I think you have to get to at least 12 wins to be serious contenders to play finals. So that means we need to, you know, we've played 6 rounds. So if I'm right, we've probably got about another 21 rounds to go. And we need to win more than half of those games to be serious contenders for the finals. And that's just not going to happen. So already, it's not. We've only just packed away the Easter stuff and the season's over, effectively. And that's disastrously tragic. No matter how you spin it, it's very, very poor.
Yeah, I thought the most disappointing thing for me was that last year it was the exact same, if not a little bit better, because we actually won the Easter Monday game. But you kind of compartmentalised it a little bit and say, like, last year was really bad. That's never going to happen again. That's a one-off. But now they've emulated it. And I do think there's like some more positives in this team compared to last year's team. But yeah, it's hard to go past the Tigers, isn't it? But I must give you your props, though. You've called this from pretty far out, didn't you? I think we were at the Dragons game last year. Was it round 24, round 23? And you tend to struggle again. So what was your thinking behind that back then?
Well, even at that stage where they were playing Jackson Hastings at locks, it was clear they were off him when they didn't fancy him at 7. And that, to me, has been such a tragic mistake for the Tigers. letting him walk out the building a year early from his contract. And that's really where things started to go wrong. And that was before the end of last season. They've made, you know, I know they went all in for Mitch Moses, but even then, that was for next season. So, you know, not only did they reckon that Luke Brooks was a better halfback than Jackson Hastings, they actually thought and basically said that Jackson Hastings, they didn't see Jackson Hastings as a halfback at all, which is pretty grim when you look at what he's doing at Newcastle now. He's playing very well for them, leading the team round the park, even though he's lost his half-partner in Ponga, who's a real genuine superstar. So, you know, Jackson Hastings had nothing to prove to Tim Sheens and the Tigers. And it was, I think the season was pretty much hauled below the waterline the moment he walked out the building with no replacement. And what we've got now is a situation where we've got no halves. Well, we've got one half who's signed for next season, and he's just about to go under the knife for an ACL operation. And apart from that, we've got no other half signed for next season. So not only is this season in the bin, next season could be in the bin as well, unless we move quickly to do a bit of serious recruitment in the halves. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know why they've seen it that way, but it's certainly not worked out. And the Tigers, I don't know. You know, the stats suggest that they're not far away from bagging a win. And there was an interesting article out today in theroad.com about how, you know, the stats suggest that they're a better team than what results are showing. But I think that might be to do with the fact they spend a lot of time in the opposition 20, but just don't score any points. And that's why they're losing games. And that all comes down to the half. And I genuinely believe that if you swap our half, Luke Brooks, with any other half in the competition, we win at least two or three games out of the six we've played. And that's, I genuinely believe that. So, you know, Sheen, that was Sheen's call. And he has to, you know, shoulder the blame for that.
Yeah. What do you reckon is the worst call? The Jackson Hastings call or the Matt Grote to keep instead of Andrew Fafita back in 2011, was it? Yeah, I think so. 2012, sorry, 2012.
Well, I think the Jackson Hastings call is definitely worse because Andrew Fafita at that time, you know, he was a bit of a hothead. He had a bit of dodgy off-field stuff, and he hadn't established himself yet as much of a player. But anybody who watched the Tigers last year could see what Jackson Hastings was bringing to the team. But I'm not, you know, I don't want to, you know, pump him up too much. He's not a world beater. He's not getting any origin call-ups coming anytime soon, or you know, he didn't even get into the England side for the World Cup. So he's not a superb player, but he's a functional game managing half, which is exactly what we are missing just now. And, you know, if you look around the competition, there's hardly any of them kicking around. They're very, very rare. So to let one walk out, not only walk out the building, but walk out the building a year early and not have a replacement signed, and letting Jock Madden go around about the same period just compounded the error. And now, you know, we're down looking at for the next game a Habs combination of Brandon Wakeham and Luke Brooks and no one else behind them. If any one of them goes down, God knows what we're going to do. So it's a situation entirely of our own making. And I think it just, you know, blew up our season.
It's very true. And I think another really sad point is that if you actually look at last season, like, it was kind of a similar structure where, you know, we were really struggling, but then Jackson Hastings gave us that direction. But this season, you know, you can see a lot of players doing individually good things, like John Bateman, like David Klemmer, like Appy Corrissa, Charlie Staines, for example, as well. Like, you can see these individuals where there's a lot more talent in terms of those weapons, those arrows that you can use on the field this year. But there's just no one to direct it all in the same, like, towards the same end goal. There's no one to straighten the attack. Because Luke Brooks, it's kind of like he's playing Quidditch at the moment. He's the, you know, the seeker trying to find a golden snitch, because he's not really playing a halfback at the moment. He's kind of just reacting like a 5'8" throw at halfback, just trying to like react to what Appy Corrissa is doing. And to be fair, he had a great game, I thought, against Parramatta, but we need more than that, don't we? And like, we don't even need an exceptional half back at the moment. I think we just need a half back, but it's just, as you said, it's just impossible with the market to get one like a year in advance, let alone, when we play the Panthers in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? It's just really poor roster management, as you said.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And Brooks, I think I agree. We had a good half a game against Parramatta. The second half, he sort of sprung into life. And I don't know what ignited him, but he's played well second half. So did Adam Dewey, to be fair. He probably played well the whole game. But, the forwards are doing what the forwards do, and they're getting us any decent field position. We're making metres, and excuse me. Yeah, we're making the metres. We're getting into the red zone, but just once there, we look absolutely clueless and directionless. And sometimes it looks as if Brooks doesn't even want the ball in the red zone. And you've had situations where guys like John Bateman have taken matters into their own hands and started, doing a bit of ball playing and a bit of game management on their own, because it's not happening from anyone else. And there was a bit of opinion expressed that he was playing more like a 5/8 with Adam Dewey playing as another 5/8 on the other side of the pitch, and they were just both playing left-right. But I saw an interview with him last week where he confirmed that he's the game manager. He's the one that's meant to be out there calling the plays. And that's the way, obviously, Shane sees it. And the one time this season where we have looked as if we have a bit of direction was in the trial against Canberra, which we went to down at Belmore. And it was Wakeham 7, Dewey 6 that day. So I was kind of waiting to see if we were ever going to see that combination and to see how that went. But we haven't, and they just seem to have this tunnel vision about Brooks in the 7 jersey, and it's not working, and it's never going to work. To be quite honest, we've tried it off and off up to now to make a reasonable stab, that it's just not going to work, and we need to move in another direction. And to be fair to the club, the pursuit of Moses seems to suggest that they see it that way as well, but I just don't get why they let Hastings go.
Yeah, I think the Mitchell Moses saga, although I for sure got dragged into it, I think it was always going to be a big ask from the club's perspective, wasn't it? Because he left on terrible terms at the Tigers in the first place. Parramatta last year, they got to a grand final. They had enough money to make a competitive offer. Some would say, more cynical fans would say, he never really considered going to the Tigers. But for me, the problem is that they've put all their eggs in that basket for Mitchell Moses, and there doesn't seem to be a contingency plan. So yeah, fair enough. Like, oh, you messed around Moses. Like we all thought that would be, a bit of an uphill battle to sign him. But like, what's plan B? That's the thing. And now it looks like what's plan C, D, E, F, G. You know what I mean? It just looks like they've kind of spiraled.
Well, it's clear that there was no plan B. And that's criminal. It's absolutely criminal why you would go after, you've released a halfback. You're going to go after a really good halfback in the club. Fair play to the club for going after one of the best in the game. I agree with you. I don't think there was ever any real possibility of him coming. But you have a contingency plan. And when he knocks you back, you move on to that contingency plan straight away. And most Tigers fans believe that was the case, that there was a plan B waiting to get put into motion. But we're sitting here today and there's not. And we're even talking with guys like Aidan Caesar being mentioned, and we seem to be scouring the reserve grade teams of the league to see if we can pluck someone from obscurity. And we see all planning seems to have just gone out the window completely.
But just to cheer you up a little bit, I've actually heard a rumor that Gary Watson, my West Tigers podcast co-panelist, has actually applied for the job of halfback. So Gary does listen to this podcast. Time to time. So, I wish you luck, but hopefully he doesn't get that jersey. Although,
I don't know. He talks a lot of sense, Gary, about the game, the in-play stuff during the game. So I think he'd maybe make a better fist of it than Luke Brooks is just now.
Yep, I tend to agree with that. But yeah, we'll wait and see. Like, to be continued on that one. So we'll just say we'll move on from that little West Tigers vent pod. Like, even though I did know that you wanted to get that off your chest, because it's been a very frustrating season. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a very frustrating season. But let's go to something more positive before we go into a game of buy, hold, and sell. So can you name one or two Origin bolters based on the start of this season for New South Wales?
Yeah, well, interestingly, I think probably before the season started, you'd have said the 7 years he was locked down with Nathan Cleary, but I'm not sure it is now. I think Nico Hines has got a shout. And, you know, last year, obviously, New South Wales lost the series, and Cleary's performance came in for a little bit of scrutiny. So, you know, Nico Hines will be knocking at the door. Apart from that, I don't know if the New South Wales team's is as strong as it has been in the past. You know, a lot of the players don't seem to be on form. So, you know, look at it in the hooker situation. I think it'll probably be Damien Cook that gets annoyed there, but Coruscant is clearly struggling away with the Tigers there, so I don't think he'll get a game. I think, you know, with Josh Addo-Carr now, he's down injured, probably doubtful for Origin. So it'll be the usual suspects for New South Wales. Latrell Mitchell will be in there, injury permitting. What do you do with Tom Trbojevic? Probably the centres again, and Tedesco at fullback if he's fit. Although Dylan Edwards putting his hand up as well for a possible go to the fullback slot, but I don't see there'll be too many changes. I think he'll probably go with the tried and tested, certainly for game one.
Could you see Hines and Cleary both in the halves together and someone like Jerome Luai misses out?
Yeah, for sure. That might happen. I know. I think Fittler has bought into this whole Penrith thing when he just thought he could just transfer the whole Penrith team into New South Wales and they would play the same way, and it hasn't worked out like that. So I think he'll probably stick with Luai. Luai at six, and I think probably you'll see Hines maybe as 18th man or something like that, or maybe even a bench utility spot. But certainly, he's certainly putting his hand up for the 7 jersey. A fantastic player.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be an interesting series. All right, are you ready for a game of buy, hold, and sell?
Sure am.
All right, so as per rules, you only have one hold at the moment, but I feel like you're the kind of person that's probably just going to go either way, 100%. Yeah. All right. First one, the Tigers will win more than 5 games this season. Are you buying, holding, or are you selling?
I'm selling that. I don't think they'll win 5 games.
Will they win one game?
Well, I think they will, yeah. I think they'll win maybe, I'm going to say they'll win about 3 games this season. I think they might, you know, they might catch a team down in troops during an Origin. I haven't looked at the draw for the Origin period. And they might run into an injury ravaged team at some point and get. And to be fair, they weren't far away from beating Parramatta on the weekend. You know, if a few things had went in their favour, they could have got a win there. But you know, I could be wrong about this, but I don't see a win coming along anytime soon. I think they'll beat the Dragons when we play them in a few weeks' time. But I think that'll be the first win of the season.
Will Parramatta make the top 8 this season?
Is that you're meant to make a statement though, aren't you? So Parramatta will make the top 8.
Buy, sell, or hold. Thank you.
I'm selling that. I don't think they will. I was less than impressed with them against us. I thought they were very poor. If you take Mitchell Moses out of that team, then they're very, very ordinary. Now, I understand that Junior Paulo wasn't playing. But you know, we the Tigers wasn't awful in the first half, but we still should have won the game, if we're being honest. So no, I don't think they'll make the 8. I think they'll struggle and probably come in 9th or 10th.
Buy, sell, or hold, are the Penrith Panthers still the team to beat at the moment?
I'll buy that, yeah. I think they probably are. Yeah, I think they have come back to the pack a bit. And they're definitely missing Coruscant. Although I have to say, I think Coruscant's missing the Panthers more than the Panthers are missing Coruscant. I think they're still the team. I think they're probably still over the course of the season, they'll prove to be the best team in the comp. Albeit at the moment, the Broncos are doing a little bit better. I'd say they're still the team to beat.
Okay. And buy, sell, or hold, New South Wales will retake the Origin Shield this year.
I mean, I'm selling that. I don't think they will. I think Queensland will win. I think Queensland have got just a far more dynamic, energetic team. And I think when you've got Cameron Munster and Harry Grant in your spine, I think these guys are, you know, in the form of their lives. And I think that will be the, and they've got good outside backs as well. Pretty good up front. The guys Carrigan and I think they'll be too strong again. I don't think it'll be like a 3-0, but I think it'll be 2-1 at Queensland. So yeah, I think Queensland will win.
You're selling a lot, aren't you?
Selling a lot, yeah.
Yep. It's been a tough season.
I bought the Panthers thing though, didn't I?
Yeah, you bought that at least. Yeah. It's been a tough season for us. But yeah, do you know what, Laura? Like my girlfriend, she said to me, she's like, you know what, I kind of like it more when the Tigers are just really bad. Because like you know, your emotions aren't going through the roof. Like at least you know they're shit. So it's kind of better that way, I suppose.
Well, the old saying goes that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy.
Yeah.
Apathy is well and truly setting in. So, and as amongst loads of Tigers fans. I don't want to go on about the Tigers all night because people don't want to hear about it. But I had to laugh at the West Tigers action group, which was being mobilised for a big protest at the game last week. And there was all sorts going to happen. You know, they were walking out in the 11th and 12th minute. They were going to turn their back. They were going to protest outside. And then the leader of the group gets invited down to training for a bit of lunch and a couple of free tickets and maybe a free bit of merch. And it's all off.
Yep.
So everything's rosy now because they gave your man a couple of free tickets for the game and probably a free pie.
Yeah, they were winding down by Pasco and Lee, so what more can you ask?
That's such a even the protests are garbage.
But it'd be really weird to do a walkout in that kind of stadium because the fans aren't really segregated, are they? Like they're mixed higher in the West Tigers fans, so it would look weird, wouldn't it? It wouldn't have the effect, but yeah, I agree with you. Like, not good, not good at all. All right, so shall we move on to the tips for this week?
Yep.
All right.
Okay,
so first up, Thursday night, I believe, just getting up the app, it's a Wayne Bennett, Wayne Bennett reunion. The Dolphins up against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Who have you got for this one?
I'm going to take the Bunnies for this one. Quite impressed with them last week. Latrell Mitchell looks to be in great form, and they did a job on the Bulldogs. So I think the Dolphins, I don't think there'll be much in it. Because I have been impressed with the Dolphins, but I think the Bunnies will get home there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Bunnies as well. Too much class. Although the Dolphins have been really good this season, as you mentioned at the start of the podcast, I think the bubble might have burst a little bit with these injuries that they're having at the moment. And I think South Sydney, I think they're one of those teams that are just a cut above the rest of the other pack at the moment, because I think we saw with like Penrith against Manly last week that there is still that hierarchy, isn't there, when it comes to like the good teams and the rest.
Yeah. So Jai Arrow's back in the team as well for the Bunnies. So he make a big difference, and Alex Johnson's been named as well. So a couple of players coming back from injury will bolster them.
I agree. All right, Sharks v Roosters.
Yeah, it's quite a tough one. This is going to be a difficult one. I think I'll go with the Roosters here, by not much. It'll be the Roosters by less than 6 points, I would think. I just think the Roosters, you know, the Sharks have been a bit on and off so far this season, and I've been impressed with the Roosters up to last week. But James Tedesco being back at fullback's a big in for them, and he makes a lot of difference. So I think the Roosters will get home just.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Roosters as well, even though they made me look like a fool in the tipping comp last week because I tipped them to beat the Storm, and then Victor Ridley got sin binned. Do you know they've never won a game that he's been sin binned in?
Is that right?
Yeah, so there's a little fun stat for you. I saw on Twitter. I don't know if it's true or not. It could be complete.
Is he playing this? He's not suspended, is he?
No, he's playing 13. It was just a really lazy like late shot on Munster that got him sin binned. It wasn't like, you know, worthy of getting a suspension. It was just
Ah,
dumb.
yeah, that's right. He just hit him late, didn't he?
Yeah, he just hit him late. Frustration, dumb play. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Roosters as well for that one. All right, Manly versus the Storm at Four Pines Park. So, a Brookfield clash. This one.
Yeah, I'll go with the Storm for this. I noticed Munster's been named at fullback. So interesting to see how he goes with Nick Meaney been out with a concussion protocol. So that brings Jonah Pezzi in at six again. So he's been quite impressive anytime I've seen him this season. I think he's probably one of the most highly rated emerging halves in the comp. So I think he'll go well partnering with Jerome Hughes. And Manly have been struggling a bit the last few weeks. So I think the Storm will win there probably fairly comfortably.
Yeah, I think Manly, especially defensively, I think they've got a few issues at the moment. I think the Storm are coming into a real patch of green form, so I'm gonna go the Storm as well. All right,
it's always a bit of a niggly one, that isn't it? The Manly against the Storm, maybe a bit of needle in that one. So yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah, like this, both clubs have history. Obviously, there was that Adam Blair, Glenn Stewart fight back in the day. But I think, you know, the Manly, they've kind of went up and down in like relevancy, but the Storm have kind of stayed the same. So
yeah.
The rivalry probably isn't what it once was, but you know, hopefully it's a good game. All right. So first game of the Super Saturday is the New Zealand Warriors at Mount Smart Stadium versus the Cowboys, who have actually had a bit of an appalling start to the season. Has old Todd Payton's men. What do you reckon about this game?
Yeah, I think with it being in New Zealand, I think the Warriors will win. I mentioned before, they've been quite impressive, and they look like a very well coached side with Andrew Webster over there now. Another ex Tigers coach, another one that got away. And they look as if, you know, they're all playing really quite well. So I can see them beating the Cowboys, but at the same time, you know, you've got to expect the Cowboys to hit form at some point because they were so good last year. Their team's pretty much the same. There's not any big ins or big outs for them. So I'm not sure why they're struggling. It's just not happened for them so far. So I think it being in New Zealand, I think the Warriors will have enough to win. But I expect to see some sort of bounce back from the Cowboys sooner or later.
Yeah, I'm gonna
probably the next game they play the Tigers.
Yeah, probably. That tends to be how it goes. So yeah, I'm gonna tip the Cowboys as well. I just as you said before, they were too good last year, and I think Scott Drinkwater, obviously I think he came back last week, but I think like the more he plays, the better their attack will look. So I'm gonna go the Cowboys for that one. All right, Knights v Penrith. I think we both know that the Penrith are probably gonna win this one.
Yeah, definitely.
And then on the last game of Super Saturday, the Gold Coast Titans v the Brisbane Broncos. And I don't know if you realise, but the amount of petty hate between these two teams is actually something that I chuckle at quite often. Like, they really don't like each other. And it's a little bit of like a little brother syndrome, I feel, from the Titans. So they always kind of get up for this game, and the Broncos are flying high. So I'm going to tip the Broncos for this one. What do you reckon?
So is it the fans that don't like each other?
Yeah, the fans hate each other, yeah, because like obviously like the Titans fans hate the Broncos because like it's obviously that kind of big brother thing, you know, you had those really successful Broncos teams and they're kind of seen like to be the, you know, like the kind of bigger player. But then the Broncos hate the Titans because the Titans sign all their players when there's some sort of contract dispute at the Broncos. You've got like Jai Arrow, Jared Wallace, Dave Drafita, and I think they try to sign Payne Haas was originally like on the Gold Coast, but like I'm sure they threw a lot of money at him. So there's that kind of tension because they are in the same kind of marketplace. So yeah. I just love seeing it because obviously Rutkin's a Titans fan and I hear him complain about the Broncos a lot, but yeah.
So all the two dozen Gold Coast Titans fans all hate the Broncos.
Yep. And they're very loud and proud about it as well.
Yeah.
So, who did you tip for this one?
Oh yeah, I'll go to Broncos as well. I think they'll get that one easy.
Oh, easy.
Not easy. Well, it'll be a slaughter.
Well, there you go. Easy. All right. So the Canberra Raiders against the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and this one is so hard to tip because, like the Raiders have been terrible this season, but they beat the Broncos at Suncorp last week, and the Dragons are obviously struggling. But I think I'm gonna go with the Raiders just purely because it's at Canberra, and they had a good win against the Sharks at home as well. Do you reckon that that's a smart thinking?
Yeah, I think the Raiders as well. I agree with you. Being at home, they're much stronger down in Canberra. And I think the Dragons are on a bit of a slippery slope. They started the season reasonably well, but a lot of people had tipped them to struggle this year, and I think they will ultimately struggle. They seem to be committing suicide with their season by, you know, detonating their own chances by joining the manager, the coach merry-go-round. So I think they're going to start sliding. I think, you know, I think Canberra down there will be too strong for them.
And then the Parramatta Eels versus the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs without Veliami Kikau and Josh Adokar.
Yeah, I think that's a big out for the Bulldogs. They're starting to struggle personnel-wise. So I think the Eels will probably win that one. Albeit I'm not that impressed with them either. But I think the Bulldogs, you know, losing Kikau and losing Josh Adokar, they've lost two of the mainstays of the team so far this season. Guys have really been performing for them. So I don't think they'll beat the Eels. So I think the Eels will win there.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Eels as well. Even though they were not very impressive against us, I think the Bulldogs and their injuries, it makes it hard to tip them in this one. But I think they'll do well nonetheless.
Junior Paulo's back for the Eels. So.
Yeah, that'll make a huge difference for them. And then I think that's us for the episode. Stephen, you did a great job. Great impact off the bench. I think the starters will be a bit worried.
Well, that's my job, isn't it? To make the starters keep them on their toes. Keep them honest.
Yep. And so hopefully we can get you back on very soon because you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job with the Celtic Down Under podcast as well and the Tuesday Night Crew. So if there's any Celtic fans watching this rugby league podcast, I highly recommend it's a good watch.
Yeah, please like and subscribe.
Yep. And I like to sign off on these podcasts with usually I would like to say something good about the Tigers, but I've been doing a little bit of the fins up recently just because, you know, obviously the Tigers are bad. So, you know, up the Dolphins.
Well, I'll finish with a positive for the Tigers. We're not playing this week.
Yeah. Do you reckon we can beat the bye?
Well, Tim Sheens isn't sure, is he?
All right, thanks, mate.
All right, thanks.